think you know Syria? You think it's all ashes and pain? Forget everything the news has said. Because there is another Syria, the one the world has never told you about. The land where the first alphabet was written in clay, then spread throughout humanity. Where the footprints of great civilizations still lie silent under the yellow sand, like questions that have never been answered. The stone fortresses that have stood for thousands of years, so much so that the Crusaders once described. If there is a place that makes people bow before history, it is Syria. What do you see in those emotions? Damascus. The capital of Syria is considered by many scholars to be one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities on earth, a place that the writer Mark Twain once described as a paradise on this earth. Here, the Barada River cuts through a landscape of warm, sunlit stone. The air is dry, carrying the scent of dust, spice, and history. More than 4.5 million people call this place home. Speaking Arabic, along with Kurdish, Armenian, Aramaic, and Circassian within traditional communities, but numbers alone can't capture the soul of this city. The origins of Damascus may stretch back more than 3,000 years before the Common Era. The name Damascus appears in written records as early as the 15th century before the Common Era, marking it as one of the key trading centers of the ancient Near East. For more than 1,000 years, Damascus was a city every empire wanted to claim. In the first century of the Common Era, it became a major center of early Christian bishoprics in the region. In 635, Muslim armies entered the city and transformed it into one of the first important capitals of the Islamic world. By the 11th century, the Seljuk Turks had seized control. In the 12th century, the Fatimid rulers of Egypt took over. And in 1516, the Ottoman Empire captured Damascus, making it a strategic hub in their vast network of trade routes and pilgrimage roads. Few cities on earth have lived through so many layers of rule, and yet remained standing, evolving, and preserving their spirit. In the early 20th century, Damascus became a military base for Ottoman and German campaigns. By 1920, the city fell under French mandate control, authorized by the Allied Supreme Council. It wasn't until 1946 that Damascus finally became the capital of an independent Syria. Stepping into a new chapter of its long history. Today, Damascus is Syria's political, economic, cultural, and educational heart. The city is known for its traditional craftsmanship, mother-of-pearl inlay, wood carving, silk brocade, brassware, glasswork, household goods, and textiles. Modern industries include food processing, leather, printing, woodworking, clothing, and footwear. Damascus also plays a major role in moving goods across Middle Eastern cities and distributing imported products throughout the country. Here, universities, museums, libraries, and research institutions continue to shape Syria's intellectual life, especially the University of Damascus and the National Museum of Damascus. It's no coincidence that Damascus is called the Jewel of the East. Landmarks like the Umayyad Mosque, ancient religious monuments, and its historic streets still shine as proof of the city's extraordinary ability to endure through time. Souk Saroujia. Just a short walk away, the atmosphere changes. Souk Saroujia feels like stepping into a familiar city far away from here. Locals often call it a miniature Istanbul, nestled in the heart of Damascus. The streets wind and weave together. Small cafes spill out onto the sidewalks. Vendors display leather goods, ceramics, and steaming trays of street food, making the area a crossroads of cultures. There is a warmth in the way people greet you, a friendly nod, a smile that shows they have seen travelers pass by for centuries. The walls are painted with time. Wooden balconies lean towards the street as if listening. Lanterns flicker even during the day. You can almost imagine Ottoman merchants settling here, blending their habits with local life. You can feel the many layers of influence interwoven into the cuisine, craftsmanship, and tone. Al-Azim Palace. From the narrow streets, Al-Azim Palace appears austere. The exterior walls are clad in smooth, earth-toned stone, simple, modest. Stepping over the threshold, the change is immediate. Sunlight floods the marble courtyard. Arched doors open onto rooms filled with geometric patterns, carved wood, and centuries-old colors. Fountains trickled gently at the center, creating a peaceful oasis just steps away from the bustling city. The delicate design protects the elegant beauty of the house, keeping it at a distance from the outside world, while living inside remains comfortable and quiet. You will walk through corridors shaped by Ottoman hands, rooms once used by governors and families. Each room contains exquisite details. Khan Asad Pasha. Step through the entrance and the world opens up. Khan Asad Pasha is one of Damascus's grandest inns, a place of rest built long before modern hotels. The scale is the first thing that strikes you. A vast courtyard rises from the black and white stonework. Eight domes hover above like anchored planets, each with circular holes to let sunlight into the space. The light changes constantly throughout the day, turning the floor into a rotating constellation. In the past, this was where trading caravans rested. Camels rested after long journeys across the desert. Merchants brought silks, spices, glassware, and stories from faraway lands. Today, the place is still quiet, but the architecture still feels as if it remembers every step that has passed. Ugarit, a city that disappeared from the map, but left traces that changed the history of civilization. At first glance, this place is just rocks lying silently under the sun, sketching the image of an ancient port city that was swallowed by the earth long ago. But the silence here hides something great. Because beneath these ruined walls, archaeologists have discovered how humans communicate. The world's first known alphabet, not carved on stone tablets for kings, not reserved for priests or scholars, but created so that ordinary people could finally write down the sounds of their own language. These broken bricks, once arranged into archives and homes, held the spark that reshaped human thinking. Ugarit is quiet, but its influence is everywhere, seeping into every word we say. Ebla. The capital of this country has an interesting story. It is Damascus, an ancient city that many scholars regard as one of the oldest continuously inhabited places on Earth. Names, trade, treaties, inventories, hymns. Records of a kingdom once so powerful it shaped trade across the region. Each tablet survives because the fire hardened the clay during the city's collapse. Ebla was a center of power, with a bureaucracy as complex as the great cities of Mesopotamia. They kept records, they planned, they wrote things down, believing that their words would endure. Dura Europos. The road turns east towards the cliffs above the Euphrates, and there Dura Europos appears. A frontier city where cultures once intersected, religions overlapped, and armies once clashed. Archaeologists have discovered a narrow tunnel dug under the city walls. Inside, they found the remains of Roman soldiers who died together in a cramped space. The scene has puzzled researchers for decades, but traces of chemicals and burns have led some scholars to propose a macabre possibility. An early form of chemical attack during the siege of 256 AD. Walking near the excavation site, the air becomes heavier. You understand that Syria was not only the cradle of writing and culture, but also the witness of the first war strategies. Ain Dara Temple. The road turns towards the hills where Ain Dara Temple once stood. Even in ruins, it still has a charm that is hard to ignore. At the entrance, carved directly into the stone threshold, are three giant footprints. Each footprint is many times larger than a human foot. Weathered, ancient, impossible to ignore. Scholars suggest they may represent the entrance of a god, a ritual reminder of the divine entering human space. The shapes are perfectly arranged, as if a giant had walked straight into the temple, a message from a people whose beliefs are as deep as their stone slabs. The surrounding ruins whisper of lions, sphinxes, and gods once venerated here. Apamea. The first thing you notice about Apamea is the distance. 2 kilometers of pillars form a straight line that stretches to the horizon. It is longer than any colonnaded street in Rome. Walking along this street, you will feel like you are walking through the backbone of a forgotten empire. The pillars rise in rows, each slightly different, carved by hands that disappeared 2,000 years ago. The stones under your feet are smooth, as if polished by the weight of caravans, soldiers, and travelers who once crossed this high plain. Shaba, a quiet, simple, almost rural town. But hidden deep within it is a legacy tied to one of the Roman emperors, Philip the Arab, who was born in this land. He rebuilt Shaba in the Roman style, shaping it into a planned city of straight lines and precise geometry. Most of the buildings have faded, but the mosaics remain. They are the soul of the place. The floors are alive with scenes of mythology, hunting, and daily life. The colors have somehow survived the centuries underground. Unlike grand temples or towering columns, these works of art were made to be walked upon, to be lived with. They belong in homes, not monuments, and that makes them feel intimate. Damascus National Museum. A modest-looking building from the outside is almost silent, but as soon as you step through the doors, the weight of thousands of years envelops you like a second atmosphere. Inside these halls, fragments of Syria's past stand side by side. Clay tablets from Ebla, each bearing the imprint of a world that once rivaled the great powers of Mesopotamia. Alphabetic characters from Ugarit, small enough to fit in the hand, but powerful enough to shape every written language that followed. Carved statues, witness to ancient rituals, tools crafted before cities existed. Fragments of Palmyra, Mari, Dura Europos, Shaba. Traces of civilizations that refuse to be buried. A small, unexpected chapter in natural history lurks among these artifacts. A modest display tells the story of the Syrian golden hamster discovered near Aleppo in 1930. From a single mother hamster and her litter, the entire world population of pet hamsters was eventually born. It is hard to believe that one of the world's most familiar animals began its journey around the world from this land. Crac des Chevaliers. Heading west towards the Homs Hills, the landscape suddenly opens up to reveal a silhouette that seems almost unreal. Crac des Chevaliers towers over the valley like a stone ship anchored on a mountainside. Many have called it the most complete Crusader castle in existence, but that title hardly captures the feeling of standing before it. Each block of stone was carved to match the next. Each tower is positioned to control every approach. Centuries ago, armies tried to breach this fortress, but its design always kept them at bay. Even today, the architecture feels calculated, deliberate, and strangely modern in its logic. Passing through the outer gate, you move between massive walls where sunlight falls at sharp angles. The corridors echo with soft footsteps, as if they still bear the footprints of those who once guarded these halls. At the top, the view opens out to miles of countryside. The horizon stretches in all directions, framed by stone blocks built to outlast the people who built them. Salah ad-Din Citadel sits on a wooded mountainside near Latakia, but nothing about it blends with the landscape. It is a stark contrast to its surroundings. The most striking feature is visible even before you reach the main gate, a giant trench carved straight through the mountain. Not natural, man-made. The trench is deep enough to swallow a building. Its walls drop vertically, revealing layers of stone cut with incredible precision. Standing on the edge of the trench, you can't help but imagine the effort it took. Stone tools chiseled day after day. Workers lowered themselves into the ever-narrowing crevice. A task so ambitious, it seems more mythical than architectural. The citadel itself is a mix of Byzantine and Crusader engineering. Bridges once spanned the trench. Towers anchored the cliffs. Each path led you up, closing the gap and putting you in perfect defense. Pine trees lined the outer walls. The wind blew through the ruins in a gentle, persistent rhythm. The citadel seems suspended between two worlds, one shaped by conflict and one shaped by the landscape that is now reclaiming it. Aleppo Citadel. No matter how many images you see of Aleppo, nothing can prepare you for the moment the citadel appears before your eyes. It sits on an artificial hill built layer by layer over centuries. A stone crown sits in the heart of the city, surrounded by bustling streets. The entrance bridge winds over a deep moat, leading you to a massive gate decorated with motifs faded by time. The slope slopes upwards, designed to slow the advance of enemies. Below, Aleppo stretches in all directions, like a tapestry of roofs, minarets and markets winding through the ancient streets. Inside the citadel, the ruins of palaces, temples and halls reveal a long and turbulent history. Civilizations have risen and fallen around this fortress, but the hill has never lost its purpose. Awad Island. Approaching Awad from the water feels like sailing towards a stone guardian. The tiny, densely built island is surrounded by fortified walls that rise straight out of the sea. For centuries, Awad was the base of Phoenician sailors, the last defensive and maritime outpost along the coast. Houses are packed tightly together, forming narrow, windy streets. Fishing boats fill the harbor. Arwad feels different from the mainland, more autonomous, more aware of its boundaries, but also deeply tied to Syria's maritime past. The ancient fortress at the edge of the island still stands as a reminder that this small piece of land once had great strategic value. Basra looms over the plains of southern Syria like a solid silhouette. Almost every structure here is built from dark basalt, giving the city a look that is both striking and majestic. At its center is one of the best-preserved Roman theaters on earth. The theater is massive. Semicircular rows of seats rise in perfect order, surrounding a stage that is surrounded by towering arches. Built in black stone, it feels different from other Roman theaters. Exploring the passages beneath the seating area reveals tunnels and rooms once used by performers and workers. Light filters through narrow openings, illuminating the basalt floor in shades of gray and silver. Basra is more than just a Roman city. It later became an important center in early Islamic history. This is a place where time does not replace the past, but builds on it. Sednaya Monastery. From Damascus, the land rises into rugged hills, where Sednaya Monastery clings to the cliffs like a white beacon. Tradition holds that the site dates back to early Byzantine times and remains an important pilgrimage site today. But Sednaya is also known for a story whispered with quiet reverence. Inside one of the monastery's chapels is a statue of the Virgin Mary that local believers describe as miraculous. Malula appears suddenly between steep cliffs, its houses painted in soft hues that blend with the surrounding stone. But the real color of this village lies in its sound. Here, some residents still speak Aramaic, a language that scholars link to the time of Jesus. The language weaves through the narrow streets, carried in greetings, prayers and stories told by elders. The words may be foreign, but their rhythms feel strangely familiar, as if echoing from a distant memory shared across cultures. Malula's churches and monasteries are nestled in the cliffs, their courtyards lit by candles at dusk. A path leads to a small gorge where tradition says early Christian communities sought refuge. The stone walls seem to retain the voices of those who have passed through before, creating a sense of history that is not only tangible, but also audible. saint, Simeon Stylites. Northwest of Aleppo lies a unique set of ruins unlike any other. This is the Basilica of St. Simeon Stylites, built to honor a man of extraordinary piety. According to historical records, Simeon lived atop a pillar for decades, seeking solitude above the world below. The exact height and details vary according to the account, but the story remains one of the most striking examples of ascetic practice in early Christianity. Today, the pillar itself is gone, eroded by time, but its base remains at the center of a vast rock complex. Four grand basilicas once surrounded it, with domes open to the sky. Even in ruins, the place still feels vast, as if reflecting the discipline of the man who once lived on them. The Chapel of St. Ananias. In the old city, there is a small, unassuming building that is often overlooked by passers-by. This is the Chapel of St. Ananias, a site associated with one of the earliest chapters of the history of Christianity in Damascus. The entrance leads down to a subterranean space dug deep below street level. It feels like stepping into a time capsule preserved beneath the modern world. The room is simple. The stone walls are rudimentary. The domes are modest. Small altars are arranged in narrow rooms. Tradition holds that this was the home of Ananias, an early disciple, and that the events surrounding Paul's conversion took place nearby. Whether taken literally or as part of a larger narrative tradition, the significance of this site is unmistakable. Dirma Musa. East of the Anti-Lebanon Mountains lies a monastery that seems to grow straight out of the cliffs. Dirma Musa sits high above the desert floor, its walls blending with the rock until the boundary between architecture and landscape becomes blurred. Reaching it requires a steep climb. Each step further reinforces the isolation that once drew monks to the place. Inside, the monastery reveals its age through faded frescoes painted on the vaulted walls. Scenes from early Christian tradition are still visible in earthy reds and yellows, their existence seemingly impossible given the harsh environment outside. The surrounding desert stretches endlessly, light scattering off the rocks and making the world below seem distant. Khalid ibn al-Walid Mosque. In the city of Homs, the Khalid ibn al-Walid Mosque stands out at first sight. Its twin minarets pierce the skyline with a clear vertical line, while the central dome rests on a structure defined by repetition and balance. The building reflects classic Ottoman design, emphasizing rhythm in the stone, precisely aligned domes, and spacious courtyards arranged to guide natural movement. The mosque honors Khalid ibn al-Walid, a prominent figure in early Islamic history, and the site has long held cultural and spiritual significance for the city. Its sound-absorbing interior creates a sense of focus, contrasting with the activity outside Homs. Among the sacred spaces of Damascus, Sayyida Ruqayya Shrine stands out for its intricate design and emotional resonance. The interior shines with mirrors that reflect even the smallest rays of light. These surfaces create a moving mosaic that seems to move as you walk, transforming the entire room into a shimmering field. The effect is striking, not overwhelming, drawing attention to the central obelisk. The mirrored walls, chandeliers, and intricate inscriptions do not exist to impress, but to create a space dedicated to remembrance and reverence. The historical stories associated with Sayyida Ruqayya hold deep meaning for many communities. The shrine is both a memorial and a spiritual anchor, connecting individual devotion to collective memory. The combination of craftsmanship and symbolism gives the interiors a distinctive character amidst the city's sacred landscape. The Taqiyya, Syria's window to the Mediterranean, has a different rhythm than its inland cities. Walk along the waterfront, and you'll sense layers of history hidden beneath the modern streets. The ancient ports of Ugarit flourished nearby. Phoenician sailors plied these waters long before maps were invented. Yet Latakia's character today is defined by its openness. Waves crash steadily. Fishing boats set sail at dawn. The coastline changes from sandy stretches to rugged cliffs, and the water takes on a distinctly Mediterranean hue, a mix of deep cobalt blue and clear green. Latakia offers a surprising contrast to the image of Syria that many people have of it. It is spacious, airy, and open, a place where the sea is part of everyday life. Nereus of Hama are giant wooden water wheels, each as tall as a building, and spinning with a stubborn solidity that seems out of place in the modern world. These structures are not replicas. They are true descendants of original water wheels built centuries ago. Designed to feed river water into aqueducts long before the invention of pumps. Their scale is astounding. The giant wooden beams rub against stone basins, creating a sound so distinctive that locals instantly recognize it. Some describe it as a heartbeat. Others say it is the river wailing. There's a moment when the desert opens up and the ruins of Palmyra appear, and your mind hesitates. How did a city of stone stand here, in the middle of a vast desert of sand and heat? That is the first mystery. The second is what remains. Palmyra was once a vital link in the trade network that linked Rome, Persia, and Arabia. Merchants crossed this desolate land because Palmyra offered the unexpected: size, luxury, and influence. The nickname Bride of the Desert is not a flattering one. It is an acknowledgement of how incredible this city was. The Temple of Bel adds to that feeling. Even in ruins, columns rise with a confidence that defies the surrounding emptiness. Archaeologists still debate how Palmyra sustained itself. How did it get water? How did it protect itself? Why did prices rise so quickly and fall so sharply? On the plains south of Aleppo, clusters of strange conical houses appear, structures that look more like habitats from another planet than traditional homes. These are beehive houses, built from mud bricks and shaped into high domes without any wooden supports. The design may seem futuristic, but it is actually one of the oldest climate-adapted housing systems in the region. Layers of stacked clay create a natural cooling effect, helping to maintain a comfortable temperature even when the desert reaches extreme temperatures. Modern materials have replaced the old methods, but the beehive houses survive as a testament to how ancient innovations often solve challenges we are still grappling with today. Syria is more than just the headlines. Through the stories, the people, and the layers of memories that lie silently beneath the surface, you realize that this land does not live on the noise of the world, but on its own resilient heartbeat. Like the image of the phoenix in Eastern legend, Syria has hit rock bottom many times and then risen from its own ashes. Join us as we continue to explore the next lands, and you are the witness to that journey.